The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga. I'm your host, Rick Thompson, along with our special guest who I'll introduce in a minute or two. First thing I wanted to do today is just talk a little bit about history that I think a lot of people forget. Probably most people, it's just out of their minds today. But today is the 78th anniversary of Pearl Harbor Day, and I don't think our young people even know about Pearl Harbor or what it led to or what it was about, and that's pretty sad. You know, our youth aren't learning about American history at all. But I want to take a minute to read this article that was in the paper the other day. When the Japanese launched a surprise attack on Pearl Harbor in 1941, a sailor named Lauren Bruner was the second to last person to get off the USS Arizona alive. He and five others were stranded on the doomed ship when a sailor on a repair ship spotted them and threw them a line. Even though Bruner was badly burned and had been shot twice, the 21-year-old managed to climb to safety. He died this September at the age of 98, and on Saturday, today, his remains will be returned to the USS Arizona, and he's expected to be the final survivor to be interred on the sunken warship. There are three remaining survivors, and they have expressed other wishes for their remains, and according to the USS Arizona Memorial, Don Stratton, there are only four former crewmen remaining alive from the 337 men who survived the attack on the battleship. And I want to just read a little bit, a couple sentences about why I don't think we should ever forget this. And I think grandparents should talk about this to their sons and daughters and to their grandchildren, and parents should pass this on down too, because it was really a bad day. It was a surprise. Nobody knew this was coming, and it was a swift assault. The United States fleet and most Army and Marine airfields on the island were decimated. But the biggest thing was that 2,335 American service members and 68 civilians were killed. And this is just one day, and probably, Dave, I think, probably took about 2 hours for all this to happen, I think. And it was a sad day, but I think what's even sadder is if we don't just take a minute or two, say a silent prayer about this. If we just forget about it, then the day is lost. So just take a minute today and remember it, or go online and read about it for 5 or 10 minutes, and you'll see what, you know, the other side of World War II is about. Right now I want to introduce a fella who I met over my 7 years as a security guard at the racetrack over the summer. And he's familiar if you're in the clubhouse section or you get near the winner circle, if you pass through. Dave is probably one of the fixtures. Matter of fact, he's got a chair there in the corner. And some people say they think he's been embalmed, and he sits there because they see him every day. And he's a great guy. But I want to introduce Dave Harmon. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Rick. I appreciate you having me here this morning.
Oh my gosh, it's my pleasure, believe me. You're quite a guy. Dave owns the Westside Sports Bar and Grill, and he also has a store in the Wilton Mall called The Stadium, and we're going to talk a little bit about both of those and his photography passion. He's one of the best in the area, believe me. He's a great guy to talk to if you're ever up at the track or at the stadium or at the restaurant. You know, just ask for him, and if he's there, you'll have an automatic friend. He's quite the personality. Dave, I want to talk a little bit about the restaurant first. It's one of our favorite spots. And I do meet a couple security guys that I work with in the summer there, and we go out to lunch once a month, and we used to try different places, and I only live probably half a mile from the restaurant, but that's where we go now. They don't want to go anywhere else, and one of the guys comes up from Round Lake, and the other one is I grew up with, and he moved to Saratoga, so... Give us a little history about when you opened the restaurant, and I'll tell you, you can't drive by that place without it being packed.
Well, we're very, very fortunate. I have great employees. There's a lot of moving parts. I kind of compare it to the horse racing business to a certain extent because, you know, you get a two-year-old and you purchase them and then you train them and... You finally get them to the track and, you know, get your gate card and then have them run. Well, you know, we have a lot of moving parts in the restaurant, being that, you know, we put together a menu, we get the product in, we prepare it. You know, the waiter or waitress take the order and goes back to the kitchen. And, you know, so the moving parts are there. I've been very, very successful. And, you know, I couldn't do it without the staff that I have. And we have been there since October the 1st of 2005. So coming up almost 15 years.
Well, and, you know, being a business owner myself, you know, before I retired, and we have a caller right now, which amazing. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, hi. Just wanted to let you know that the guests, I can barely hear the guests.
Okay. All right. Thank we'll get them closer to the mic then. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. So that answers our question, Dave. So 15 years ago.
Yeah, October the 1st of 2005 is when we opened on the west side. And, you know, it's... I don't think we've ever been better than we are right now. And, you know, it's, you know.
Well,
I tell my employees, if you can't work for Dave Harmon, then, you know
what. You can't work for anybody.
Yeah, it's tough.
Well, you know, as I said a little bit before, as a business owner, before I retired, the one thing that I found out is that your employees – are the key to the business, because those are the people that the customers deal with. And you can have the best food in the world, but if you have a bad server, that can make the experience not a happy one. And I have to tell you something, from my friends going in with me for lunch and my wife and I going in for dinner and from friends that I talk to, I mean, there's no better place.
Well,
really.
You're very kind, and I appreciate it. I tell my employees, I tell them this: come to work on time, treat people the way you want to be treated, and do what's right. And I tell them that nobody has to come through the door. We have to give them a reason. And you know, I have a regular customer that comes in on Friday night, and she'll say to me, Dave, she says, I'm at my happy place. And, you know, it is a happy place. And, you know, it's kind of like people compare it to Cheers because, you know, certain people, you know, are going to be there, you know, on certain nights, but a lot of them are there all the time. Which,
sure.
And you know what? People that have come in there have become friends of other people that they never knew, and it's kind of a neat situation to be part of. And I mean, I'm a people person too, and you know, just to converse with the customer base that comes in is it's a neat thing for me.
Sure. Now, you're located on Congress, right a couple blocks off of Broadway, same side of the street as CVS and the hotel's on.
Right.
And but by being off Broadway like that, you have two benefits. Number one, it's easy to get to from Broadway or from people coming in out of the city and coming in, easy to get to. And number two, it's got a, like Cheers, a corner neighborhood feeling when you go in. And if you're there, one thing that I really look at you when I'm in there, and you strut around. And
well, I don't know about strut.
No, you strut around and you're checking out. You go up to the table. How are you? And everybody's talking to you. They know you. You're very, like you said, you love people. And, you know, that gives a customer, a patron, a good feeling. To know that the owner's walking around as an average Joe and coming up to say, how's everything going? You know, you need anything? And, you know, business people, owners really don't do that an awful lot.
Well, you know what? You don't, you just don't have the situation that we have there. I mean, back in the day, you used to have owners that were kind of hands-on, that were there all the time and knew their customer base. And now the whole situation is more corporate. Saratoga is a little bit different. In the sense that there are individuals that own their own business, whether it be a deli or a cleaners or a gift shop, or you know, I mean, it's very, very, it's a very unique geographic area and history-wise and all that. But yeah, I mean, I'm
you're a people person.
I think it's important that I'm there. I do, you know, the photography, and I get out of town now and then, but I would say that the photography, not only do I really like it, and, you know, it probably is a good buffer for being in the restaurant business, because the restaurant business is 24/7, and
a lot of details.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, we have to be on our game all the time. You know, you, as they say, you know, in sports, you know, you can't take a day off. And, you know, are we going to make a mistake? Absolutely. But it's, you know, it's how you persevere through that. And, you know, we have such a good customer base that, you know, I get so many positive comments, it just really hits you in the stomach that people feel the way they do.
Well, you know what? We got talking a little bit before the show about people, you know, frequenting a business, and your rating is very, very high, probably one of the highest you can get without being perfect, and you're never going to get that, but that's advertising in itself. I mean, you know, you get a lot of people going out that door that have had a really good experience, and that's it. Like I say, I hear from friends and family, and I know us. Every time we go in there, it's always good, and that's advertising in itself.
Well, you know, we try to make it that way, and you know, the whole thing is, you know, the front of the house, the bartenders, the cooks, you know, the hostess. You know, it's a team effort. You know, I played athletics through high school and played three sports, and then I junior college, I played two sports, and then I went on to a 4-year school and played one sport, and I would say the one thing about myself is that, you know, I'm driven, and I just feel like I know what it takes to get to a certain level. I mean, my background is not in culinary arts or anything like that, but you know, I surrounded myself with good people, and I feel that's the key, just like it is in athletics.
Well, you kind of draw the athletics into the restaurant. I mean, it is a sports bar, although your menu is not just hamburgers.
Well, you know, I mean, people say we're a sports bar, but I would say that we're kind of a restaurant with a sports theme, and the only reason I say that is our percentages, food to beverage, are very, very high food, and the menu is very, very diversified. It's not just pub food, mm-hmm. So therefore, it is. It's a little bit different than a sports bar. Yeah, we have the TVs, but you know what, Rick? You go into so many places today that you wouldn't even expect to see TVs, and everybody has TVs now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just brought that up as you incorporated a little bit of that, but your menu is not strictly a menu that you would think a sports bar would have.
Right.
Your menu is very diverse, and it's as you, and then you took and said that it is more number one, a restaurant,
right,
and then number two, a restaurant with some entertainment behind it. I mean, you can go in there, and I don't think like when my wife and I go in, my wife's not a sports fan, but I'll look up and see what the score is in that, and she'll say, "Why are your eyes going up?" but it's something to see. I mean, you know, you go into a restaurant and you just sit there and, you know, you talk with your wife and then. I think that lends itself to be a little more friendlier between patrons. You know, I don't know. It's got a unique atmosphere, and I think anybody from any walk of life, a sports lover, not, if you don't like sports or that, you can go in there and have a good meal by great people, servers, and enjoy yourself, even if you're not a sports person.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, there are certain nights that you, I mean, granted, there's sports on every night, but you go in there and there's not really anything big sport-wise going on, and you look around and, you know, everybody is happy, and you know, but there again, you know, Sunday football or March Madness or World Series or, you know, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Mets, you know, mm-hmm. You know, there's fans out there for all these teams, and you know, it's just they're year around, and I mean, even, you know, you want to get into the horse racing, I mean, you know, the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, the Belmont, the Breeders' Cup, you know,
mm-hmm.
all those are also very something that's very attractive to our customer base.
Sure. Well, you know, and you can tell if you're going into a restaurant by the age group, the diverseness of the age group. I mean, you have younger people there, you've got middle-aged people there, and you have older people there. So that just goes to show that it's not a strictly one target restaurant.
Yeah. No, I would say our this came up the other day, and I would say our customer base is probably more like 40 and up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the first thing people say when, you know, they say you're in Saratoga, well, you probably get a lot of the college kids. And, you know, we do get college kids, but percentage-wise, it's more, you know, the 40 and up and families and grandparents. And so we're really diversified that way. The menu is diversified. And, you know, we're very, very fortunate. And, you know, we do a lot of really neat things. We Monday we have trivia, which is just off the chart, and Chris Honorato, that's on TV in Albany with Roger Weiland, does the trivia and does a super job. Wednesday we have, you know, we have two singers that we alternate every other Wednesday, Russ Kennedy, and that's Wednesday, like, between 6 and 9, and, you know, we do these other events called Raising Doughs that we do for different organizations, and we'll give a certain percentage of what we take in between 5 and 8, and sometimes they do silent auctions, and, you know, like...
good community...
Yeah, you know, I really want to give back. You know, it's just so important. Especially, I think Saratoga. People think it's a lot bigger than what it is, and you know, the chamber and the tourism bureau and everybody does such a fantastic job that. You know, I think it's important for each individual business in Saratoga to do their part also, you know, I mean, and we're very fortunate because there's some great businesses and great owners in Saratoga, and that's what makes it what it is.
That's right, and I know, I mean, I don't want to veer off subject too much, but there's an awful lot of... the perception of Saratoga is that only rich people live here, which is completely false. And Saratoga, like any other city, has its share of people in need. And one of the great, there's so many organizations that try to, you know, help out with the nonprofits and that. And one of the good things about that is, like you said, there's a lot of business people that raise a lot of money for these organizations that otherwise wouldn't be able to have the money to serve the people that they do. And one thing about Saratoga that I'm not from Saratoga. I married a Saratoga girl. I've been here now for almost 40 years. And one of the things that amazed me, and I came in just as Saratoga was starting to build back up, was community involvement. I've never quite seen community becoming more so involved in different things that end up becoming really good, and a lot, you don't see that in a lot of cities.
Oh, you don't. You know, Saratoga is so unique, and you know. We're very, very fortunate what we have, and, you know, I kind of laugh at this because during the track season, the first thing that a lot of the people that come to town, they'll say to me, well, you're not open in the wintertime, right? And I kind of laugh at them, and I say, oh, yes, we are. I said, you know, I have bills 12 months a year, so, you know, but it's a misconception. Because people come and they see everything that's going on during the summertime and the races and all the different events and the galas and, you know, SPAC. And, you know, when you really think about everything that's going on in Saratoga from the beginning when SPAC and the ballet and all that starts to happen, and, you know, and then even out of town, you know, when you go up north and, you know, events they have there. And I mean, it's just kind of like you say to yourself, wow.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's just.
Well, I think people have a misconception of that because for so many years, the advertisement and the promotion that they did was Saratoga, the summer place to be. And people, I think, get in their head that, well, what do you do in the winter? And I say to them, you can walk down Broadway in the winter, and you'll see in a snowstorm as many people on the street as you would, maybe not during the summertime, but in the spring and fall. I mean, people are downtown walking. going into the coffee shops, stopping in places to have lunch, and it is a year-round place now. It's not just a summer place to be.
Yeah, you know, and the Chamber and the Tourism Bureau do such a fantastic job. I mean, look, you just had Victorian Street Walk, and then you'll have First Night and you know, Chowder Fest, and think of the number of people that actually it attracts to downtown Saratoga. And I mean, the Chowder Fest is always the day before the Super Bowl, and it's and you know,
now
we've been fortunate enough to win a couple times, and it's, you know, I can say this, not only does Saratoga get behind it, but I mean, you have people that come from a distance that come into town for that weekend. You know, and they call them the Chowderheads. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Well, wasn't it not too long ago that they were getting concerned about the number of people that were coming? You know, we're talking about 35, 40,000 people.
Yeah.
And they were getting concerned that, you know, they may be outgrowing the event. And now, do you know Pat Kane at all?
I know Pat. I don't know him
Mike
personally.
Kane's brother.
I know Mike very well.
Yeah. And Pat is the one that started First Night here. And I was on the first committee.
How about that?
How about that, eh?
Wow.
Well, I want to break off of the restaurant business because you have another business that is well-known and is a fantastic business, I think. It's called The Stadium, and it's located in the Wilton Mall, and it's one of the premier specialty sports memorabilia stores, I think, in the area. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we've been out there for a number of years, and you know, I've been in the licensed sports business and the mail order business since going back in the late 70s, early 80s. I moved up here in 96, but I've been in the memorabilia business, the licensed sports business, for all those years. I mean, I've seen a lot of a lot of change in it. I mean, now you probably see all the advertisement for Fanatics, which the licensed sports product business has really been, I guess I can say, fine-tuned. There's nowhere near the number of licensed sports businesses as there used to be. And it's really kind of, you know, you have your Nikes and Adidas and Fanatics. Well, Fanatics is basically, they're partially owned by the associations. And, you know, I mean, everything.
Yeah, it's a streamlined business now. I mean,
everything is going, you know, not to the brick and mortar. It's going against us. And, but I can honestly tell you this, we have one great store out at Wilton. Mike Schaefer, who is the manager out there, just does a great job. And, you know, I know they've had a couple anchors close, but, you know, they're doing a good job to fill them up. And I probably have the best store as far as looking store that I've ever had in all the years that I've been in business. And my manager, Wayne Frankie, is just, he's super. So if you're looking for something for Christmas, and we carry every team, you know, for NFL, and, you know, we have a really good variety of product. And if we don't have it, there's a pretty good chance that we can get it for you. So, I mean, if you get a chance, you know, I don't think you'll go wrong by stopping in.
Oh, my gosh, no. And in all honesty, there's so many things to choose from that if you want to get someone anything sports-related for the holidays or even a birthday or whenever, you'll find it out there, and you can get lost in the store. You can spend a half a day in there. Matter of fact, you should probably put another restaurant on the side of your store, because people could take a break and go have lunch or dinner and come back in again. I mean, there's, like you said, there's always something for somebody. And I know I have a little thing going with a principal. I drive part-time school bus for Upstate, an independent bus company. And one of my schools was a special needs school down in Scotia. And I got to know the principal pretty good, and she's a Boston Red Sox fan, which almost popped my Yankee tattoo off of my arm. But anyway, every Christmas, I don't even go down there anymore, but I still send something down with the driver that goes there, is a something small, Yankee keychain, or a Yankee ornament, Christmas tree ornament, and then she sends me something Boston back, you know. But, you know, you can go out there, whether you want to find something small, you know, or something, you know, more expensive or something unique, you can go out there and find it. And you mentioned about online shopping. You know, I know online shopping's getting a little bit bigger today, or bigger, but you can't see everything that's in a store online.
No, you gotta, you know, there are still people, unfortunately, it's a very, very low percentage, but, you know, I'm the type of person, I like to see something, I like to feel it, touch it, and, you know, or try it on, and you know what, you can't do that when you're shopping online, but it's just, you know, if we said that that it's not going that way, we'd be lying. Unfortunately, that's just the nature of the beast right now. And
well, it's like anything, social media, email. My wife does a lot of emailing. I like to make a phone call, because I like that interaction between people. And that's one thing you get in a brick-and-mortar store over the internet. You can talk to somebody. You can ask questions about the product. Online, you really can't do that. You got to pretty much know what you want to get. And I think they have a lot more returns online stores than a brick and mortar store does.
I'm sure they have.
So I can't say enough about, you know, it's amazing. You've got the touch, and I've got one touch I can help you out with too. But you've got the touch running a restaurant and the stadium sports store. You got two phenomenal businesses. Now, what I can offer you is that you said you have two singers on Wednesday night, and I do this as a community service, and I would do this as a community service to you. I worked in a restaurant when I was younger, and the hardest part about that is come closing time, and sometimes, you know, you don't want to tell people, hey, it's time to get out. But I can come in and I can sing a couple songs, and that'll be guaranteed to drive people out, so that you can close up and get cleaned up out there. So I'll put that out there for you.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. We heard you're a stand-up comedian, even when you're sitting down. You know.
Oh wow! Hey, listen, I've got to get a couple public service announcements in, as Skidmore's license says we have to do. And you're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM Skidmore Radio. The phone number in the studio here is 518-580-5783. And when we get back, we're going to talk to Dave about photography and the track before we go back to the beginning and kind of highlight each one of the things again. And we're happy Dave's on today, because this is another gift idea for people. Also, you know, if you're out and about and you want to try, and you haven't been to the restaurant, the West Side Sports Bar and Grill, I would say try it. I mean, and when you try it, you're gonna go back again. And as I said before, always ask for Dave. If he's there, he'll talk to you, and you'll have a friend for life with him. So we'll be right back, and we'll take a minute or two.
Building relationships during recovery from mental and substance use disorders can put the strength of family and community behind you. We're all connected, offering encouragement, support, and hope. Join the Voices for Recovery. Strengthen families and communities.
For confidential information on mental and substance use disorders, including prevention and treatment referrals for you or someone you know, call 1-800-662-HELP. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Some of the best sounds you'll ever hear are generic. Safe. Effective. Even money-saving, just like FDA-approved generic drugs. Even if they don't come in the exact same color or shape as their brand name equivalents, they have the same key ingredients and go through a rigorous review process. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist today and visit fda.gov/generic drugs. Generics are safe, effective, and can save you money. You'll like the sound of that.
Building relationships during recovery from mental and substance use disorders puts the strength of family and community behind you. We're all connected. Join the Voices for Recovery. Strengthen families and communities.
For confidential information on mental and substance use disorders, call 1-800-662-HELP. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Okay, we're back, and we have a real special guest here. I'm happy to call him a friend, and I met him up through the racetrack, as I said. And we're throwing his microphone all over the place here, so we're going to get him back in. I think that's okay, Dave. If it stays there, that's fine. We're here with Dave Harmon, owner of the Westside Sports Bar and Grill, the stadium in Wilton Mall, which is a sports memorabilia. But more than sports memorabilia, that's why I say you have to take a ride out there, because he has everything. Hats, cards, license plate holders, everything. Anything you can think of, he's got. Why don't you give the location of the store, Dave?
Yeah, the store is at the Wilton Mall, which is out on Route 50, Exit 15 in Saratoga. And we used to be down by Sears, but we moved back in June. And we are one store on the opposite side of Old Navy. So if you come into Dick's entrance, go down the hall, we'll be right down the hall on the left-hand side. And it's a pretty neat store. If you're a sports fan, you'll go in there and you'll say wow. And
if you're not a sports fan,
but you're looking for something sports related you need to buy for somebody, just stop in there, and Wayne or John or Krista or one of my employees will be glad to help you out.
That's right. And you'll find anything for everybody. And as Dave said, every team is represented. So you can find anything you want. Now, Dave, I want to go to the third part of your life. And here again, you're at the top of your game on that also, and that's photography.
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest with you. It is something that I just pinch myself, because when I moved up here, I really had a couple things that I really wanted to do, and one was to shoot every race every day at Saratoga. The other one was to open up a restaurant, and I've been fortunate enough to do both. And my mentor in the photography is really a fixture like myself, Skip Dickstein, who worked for the Times Union for years, and he just retired last December. But he is by far one of the best equine photographers in the country. And, you know, started to shoot with him and worked the remote cameras that you see underneath the rail. And I finally reached the point where I said, you know, I want to start shooting. So, you know, I got the camera and started shooting. And back then, you know, we shot with film. And if anybody had ever said that we would be shooting digital back then, you would probably say, you got to be kidding me. But that's the way it is now. And digital photography is just, it's just amazing what you can do. And the turnaround time, rather than having to develop photos and go through that whole scenario. And, you know, I've been very, very fortunate to not only shoot the Triple Crown races, the Derby, Preakness, Belmont, and the Breeders' Cup, and I've been to Dubai 9 times, and I really, you know, I shot Gary Stevens' wedding, and he got married on the Queen Mary in Long Beach, and it was like who's who in California racing, and Gary and Angie are very, very good friends of mine, and you know, the things that I've been able to do, I, you know, would have never ever thunk that I would have been able to do the things I have. I just have. It's a small fraternity, the horse racing industry, and when something happens, the people are just there behind you 100%.
Well, you know, you say it's a small fraternity, and you're right, and I've been blessed too. In my 6-week job up there as security, I am the security guard for the press box. So I'm right up from the finish line, and that seems to be the hot spot. And, you know, from the section where Parcells sits down past the finish line, and you get to see a lot of interesting people. And when they come back year after year, they always stop and say hi. Excuse me. And, you know, I'm kind of surprised because these people are, you know, big in sports, the racing, baseball. But you have actors and actresses and Olympic stars and horse racing people, restaurant people. It's just a really nice atmosphere. And if you're in the right spot, you're so blessed to see people. Governor Pataki now comes up every time he's there, stops over. You know, about 6 years ago, he introduced his wife Libby to me. You know, every time they come up, she comes over and gives me a hug and a kiss. And I see him once or twice a year at the track. But they become friends. And I think you, excuse me, I think you're shorted a little bit. Because you said you learned under Skip, and he is a great photographer, but to me, and you travel around a lot, but I don't want to slight anybody, believe me, but because there's a lot of good photographers that come to Saratoga from all around the country, but the work that I see, three people that I would want to photograph anything that I ever did, Skip, you, yourself, and Barbara Livingston. I think three photographers are three of the best in the country. And
well, you're very, very kind. I don't know if I'm in the same league as Skip and Barbara. In fact, it's funny you say that because I saw a picture that Barbara had posted today that is just fantastic of the Saratoga grandstand, and she got the okay to make 100 prints through the daily racing form, and I said, wow, you know. And I mean, when you see other photographers work, and you know, and Barbara is yeah, she shoots the races, but she shoots a lot of more kind of artsy type things, and she is not only a good photographer, but a good friend and a good person and somebody that, you know, we, at all the different events, I mean, we have a lot of laughs. So, you know, that's half the battle because, to be honest with you, to be out there every day in Saratoga and to, you know, like when we do the Derby, we're out there at, you know, 5:36 in the morning and, you know, it's, you know, it can become a long day, and but you're doing something that you really, really love, and you are with people that are just really neat people, and you build up a rapport with other photographers from, you know, different geographic areas. Like when you go to Kentucky, a lot of those photographers don't go on and do the Preakness and the Belmont, so you see them once a year in Kentucky, kind of like your story with Pataki. And then, you know, here's a good one for you, and this kind of goes with Christmas. I get interviewed before the Saratoga meet a couple years ago, and the fellow said, "Dave, are you really looking forward to Saratoga?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Geez." I said, "It's like Christmas." I said, "Everybody comes to town for the Saratoga meet, and then Labor Day, they all leave." And he looked at me, and he says, "Wow, I never heard that comment before." And he was laughing, and he says, "That's a good way to look at it." And I said, "It is, because the Naira people and the people that come in from out of town that are shipping horses in that I know, or they might come up from Florida to work the Saratoga meet, they're good friends, but I just see them during the Saratoga meet, and, you know, you catch up, and because, you know, now that it's a little bit a week longer, it's really a neat situation, and mm-hmm. people will say to me, "Well, I come over in the morning and I don't see you," and I say, "I'm here from 12 o'clock until the last race, you know,
and there's
only one of me, and then after that I go right to the restaurant," and, you know, now with the new extra day off, it's very, very good for me, because now there's 2 days and the track is only 5 days a week.
Well, it gives you a little break too. Yeah. I mean, I didn't think I'd like that, but yeah, it does kind of give you a break. But, you know, to your story, and, you know, the people that you meet and that you become friends with, I think you always have to respect their area, especially, you know, like the people, people of notoriety that go up there, like Parcells and the other ones that are there for the meet. I mean, I certainly would not walk up to him and interfere with anything, because he's that type of guy. He'd have 1,000 people if, you know. So you kind of try and protect him against that, and you yourself have to know you can't do that. But when he walks by you, like when he walks by my post, he'll stop and chat for 30 seconds. And you give him that, and you don't say, "Geez, I wish he'd stay here for 4 minutes." Now, I'll give you an example. Excuse me. This past summer, Lou Piniella came up and sat in Parcells' box. Well, he sits down in the next betting bay from where I am. So I happen to look over there, and there's Lou Piniella and the bay right by me. So I knew not to just walk up to him and say anything, and especially as an employee. So I'm walking up the rail in back of the back seats, you know, waiting for him to come away from the window. And I get even with him, and he's walking away, and Mr. Piniella, and he looks, and he says, he comes over, and he says, "Hey, how you doing?" And I said, "I just want to say," I said, "I'm a diehard Yankee fan," I said, "but you're one of the last true heroes." And he says, and my name tag was on, so, you know, he said, "Well, why is that, Rick?" And I said, "Well, you're one of the last ones that would kick dirt on home plate, on the umpire, take your hat off, throw it down." And I said, "Nobody does that anymore." And he said to me with a little smile, he said, "You know what, those umpires deserved it." So I said, "Well, listen, you have a great day, and, you know, it was nice just talking to you." You know, and he patted me on the shoulder. He said, anytime. And but that's enough. I didn't want to, make long-term conversation with him. But the so he was there a couple weeks after that, and he came over and said hello. So, I mean, you do build the rapport with people.
Oh, yeah. It's, being
and not only famous people. Yeah. I should say that. I don't want us to think that, you toot your horn because you see these people. It's with anybody that comes up there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, being in a winner's circle and to go back, Adam Coglianese, who was the Naira photographer, and prior to that, his dad, Bob, and prior to that, it was his cousin. And so the whole photography business for Naira has been in the family for, a long time. And Adam is, you talk about really good photographers, Adam is, he's a great photographer. Mm-hmm. And we have a really good rapport, and I kind of laugh because Adam and me probably are the only two that shoot every race every day, and I get a kick out of people. The last race will be on the turf, and they'll say, people from out of town that they're watching on OTB in Connecticut or wherever, and they'll come there and they'll say, yeah, I see you and Adam out there, and. One day I was leaving, and a guy came up to me, and he says, I want to introduce you to my wife because, I watch the OTB station, and I see you out there shooting the last race on the turf. And I became friends with the fellow. He was he owned a taxi cab service over in Connecticut. And the friendships you make, like you said, it's just amazing. And being in the winner's circle and the security guards that have been there over the number of years that I've been there, which has been like 25 years, and you just build a really good rapport up with them, and even the people that work the track, and it really means a lot. And then you were talking about Coach Parcells, and he's one of our customers at the West Side when he's in town, and he is really a neat guy, and just like you said, he comes in there and people see him, but, they don't bother him, and, I'll sit down and talk to him, and, he's just a genuine person. He loves the racing business. He's been very, very successful. He's had some really nice horses, and, you root for people like that, just like, the trainers and the jockeys. And, I'm very, very fortunate to be really good friends with Johnny Velasquez and his family. Mm-hmm. And
well, like you say, you have to be in different spots. You're in a great spot, and I'm in a great spot, and I feel fortunate. And the thing is, what makes me happy is when, you're friends with somebody, like you said, just for maybe a week or a day or for the meet. But you're always happy to see them the next year. And they're happy to say hi to you. And I want to tell, we're going to finish up here because we have about a minute left. But don't let Dave kid you. The reason why people see him and will come to the winner's circle and say, I saw you on TV. I saw you. He's tall. He has a full head of white hair. He has a mustache. So he's a standout guy. So people, and I don't know if he wears lifts to make himself tall so he'll stand out. But if you're at the track, you got to stop over by the winner's circle. You have to pay a couple extra dollars to get into the clubhouse. But stop by and say hi to Dave. You'll be glad you did. It's a lot of fun. And I got to tell you, Dave, I met a lot of the security that comes up from New York, you really don't, they're a unit with themselves, but there are a bunch that you make friends with that come up every year. And we had some first timers up here, Lieutenant Gottersheim, Tommy. We're best friends now. We text each other almost every day. The Sergeant Quick, D Quick, who was in the big races down there in the corner. You know, we're good friends now. Of course, Sergeant Rice, she's been my sergeant for years, so she's a good friend. And the security guard that was in the winner's circle.
Let me tell you something. All those guys and ladies are just fantastic.
Super. And, you know, we stay in touch now all year long. And, I mean, I never had that experience with anybody from down New York. There was a sergeant, Sergeant Valentine, who was one of the ones that we kept in touch with. Unfortunately, he doesn't come up anymore. He had a stroke. But Wes and I go down 3 or 4 times a year to the rehab center that he's in to see him. And that's... You know, you see him for 6 weeks, but that's the friendship that you build up, that you want to keep in touch with him. Well, listen, Dave,
you got to go to the West Side tonight. We got the ugly sweater night from 7 to 9 at the West Side, and my manager there, Sarah, is she's on top of all these different events and does a great job for me, and I don't think you'd be disappointed if you stop in the night between 7 and 9. Just make sure, one thing, wear that ugly sweater.
Wear an ugly sweater. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of them. I mean, when I go happen to go up to Walmarts or that, you know, you go by, they have men's, women's, kids, and boy, some of them are gaudy. But get one just for that, because or wear it around, because people think, you know, that's funnier than heck. But I'm glad you brought that up, because we talked about it, and, you know, with my mind, the sieve, it just filters out. But listen, you have the West Side Sports and Bar Grill, you have the stadium, the memorabilia store out in Wilton Mall, and Dave's photography business, which, if you know, you ever have a need for anything, and he's able to do it, stop down to the stadium at the mall or the restaurant. Just if he's not there, just tell one of the help. They're excellent, excellent people in every store. Dave, it was a pleasure having you on.
Wow, this was great. I mean, it seemed like it was too short.
I know,
there's
it does.
Still things that I want to talk about.
Well, but, I'd love to have you on again, if you wouldn't mind.
Oh, I would love to.
All right.
I'll tell you, I can't thank you enough, Rick. You do a great job.
Well, thank you. And I want to wish everybody a great weekend. Next Saturday, we have Sustainable Saratoga on, which should be another great show. But in the Christmas season here, don't forget, say hello to people. You should be doing that all year long. Say hi. Make eye contact. Don't have your head down on your phone. People love to say hello. And just if you have to be the first one to do it, do it. And enjoy the week. Have a great weekend. And we'll be here next Saturday. We're going to